Hello and welcome to this session of What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in beautiful Jasper, Georgia. We hold our services at 1191 East Church Street every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. and every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12:30. What we do is we take a book of the Bible and we go chapter by chapter and verse by verse to see what does the Bible say. So if you join me in Bible study this morning, if you just please open up your Bibles and let's look at it and see what does the Bible say. Significance of the tribe of Judah. Where did Jacob give a prophecy of his sons of what would befall them in the end of days? Genesis 49. Go back to Genesis 49. A lot of people forget that Jacob is a prophet. But in Genesis 49, he gives one of the greatest prophecies of the Old Testament. Genesis 49:1 says, "And Jacob called his sons and said, gather together, that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days." Just strike through last days, because that's wrong. It's the Acharit Hayamin, which is the end of days, which is a term for the day of the Lord. God bless you. And what does he say about Judah? Verse 10. We'll start in verse 8, because that's where Judah begins. "Judah, you are he whom your brothers shall praise." Why will the brothers praise Judah? Because the kings are going to descend from Judah, and Messiah is going to descend from Judah. "Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies," that is, he's going to rule over the enemies, like David conquered the Philistines. "Your father's children shall bow down before you," because they will be the source of the kings of Judah. "Judah is a lion's whelp." Here's the first reference to the lion of Judah. "From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He bows down, he lies down as a lion," or couches to spring out on prey like a lion does. "And as a lion, who shall rouse him? The scepter shall not depart from Judah." The word scepter means the right to rule, the kings. "Nor a lawgiver from between his feet." Wait a minute. Moses, the lawgiver, wasn't from Judah. What tribe is he from? Levi. So what lawgiver comes from Judah? Answers Messiah. That's right. The original lawgiver. "Until Shiloh comes." Shiloh or Shiloh is a term for the Messiah. It comes from the Hebrew word Sheliach, the sent one. And Messiah was the sent one from God to die on Calvary's tree to be our redemption. "And to him," capitalized because it's referring to Messiah, "shall be the obedience of the people, binding his donkey to the vine and his donkey's colt to the choice vine." How did Messiah ride into Jerusalem? On a donkey and its colt. Do you see the prophecy? "He washed his garments in wine and his clothes in the blood of grapes." That's Isaiah 63, Messiah bringing judgment upon the kingdom of Edom. Okay, back to Revelation chapter 5, verse 5. "Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah," that's Messiah, "the root of David," that is the one who created David, the one from whom David springs, "has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose his seven seals." There's one more significance here that just thrills me. Go back to Hosea. Of course, you guys know I'm easily thrilled. Hosea, right before Joel. Hosea chapter 5, verse 14. Hosea chapter 5, verse 14. The first line, "For I will be like a lion to Ephraim," or Ephraim, however you prefer to pronounce it, refers to the Assyrian nation taking the northern kingdom of Israel captive in 722 BCE. The next phrase, and like a young lion to the house of Judah, is the kingdom of Babylon taking the southern kingdom of Judah captive 120 years or so later for a period of 70 years. So Israel fell under the rule of the earthly lions. And now in Revelation 5:5, the lion of the tribe of Judah is going to break the Gentile world powers that have dominated Israel since the time of the lions, Assyria and Babylon. Do you see how cool that is? Verse 6, back to Revelation 5:6. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne that is sitting on the throne, Messiah is on the throne, and of the four living creatures, they're carrying the throne. They bear it up, as we saw from the book of Ezekiel. And in the midst of the elders, that's the 24 elders that I believe represent the 12 patriarchs of Israel and the 12 apostles of the Lord, representing all the believers from the Old Testament and the New Testament era, the believers of all time. And in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain. How did John the Baptist refer to Messiah? The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Here stands a lamb as though it had been slain. Go back to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Many of the Jewish prayer books omit Isaiah chapter 53 because they don't want to answer the question of who is this? Because it is none other than our Messiah, Yeshua. Isaiah 53 verse 7. He, that is our Messiah, Yeshua, was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, meaning like a lamb to the slaughter, he went to his death. And as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. It's actually justice. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. That means he actually literally died. There's a whole line of theology out there that says he didn't die, he just fainted, and the darkness of the tomb brought him back. No, he died, it says. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. That is not for any sins of his own. He didn't have any. He died for the sins of others. Where in the scriptures does it tell us he was going to die for the sins of others, but not just that, but when it was going to happen? That's Daniel 9. Let's look at Daniel 9. We studied this last week. I'm sure you remember. There are 70 periods of 7 years. There are 7 year blocks, 6 years plus a Sabbath. And there are 70 of those, so they are not all consecutive. But they're all complete 7 year blocks. It says in verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem, that was the command of whom? Artaxerxes Longimanus, the son of Esther, and King Ahasuerus. How do we know it's not the command of King Cyrus to go back and rebuild the temple? Because it doesn't say to restore and build the temple, it says to restore and build Jerusalem. It was Artaxerxes who gave permission to rebuild the walls in the city. So from that point until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, which are 483 years. The street shall be built again, the wall, even in troublesome times. So that brings us to the first century. Verse 26, and after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, again the words meaning to be killed, but not for himself. Isaiah said it was for the sins of our people, not for his. So let's set that aside. Go back to Revelation chapter 5, verse 6. A lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the world. We must first look at seven horns. Let's go to Psalm 89. Psalm 89. Seven is the number of perfection or completion. Psalm 89, verses 17 to 24. Chapter 89 of Psalms, verses 17 to 24. For you are Messiah Yeshua, the mighty right hand of God, are the glory of their strength, and in your favor our horn is exalted. For our shield belongs to the Lord, and our King to the Holy One of Israel. Then you spoke in a vision to your Holy One and said, I have given help to one who is mighty. I have exalted one chosen from the people. I have found my servant David. With my holy oil I have anointed him. With whom my hand shall be established. Also my arm shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not outwit him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. I will beat down his foes before his face and plague those who hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name his horn or right to rule shall be exalted. So if Messiah has the seven horns, that means he has the perfect, absolute right to rule everything. I would have to agree with that. That Psalm 89 is one that has the verse 34 that says, my covenant I will not break nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips, which means Messiah absolutely is coming to rule and reign. There isn't a question. If we go back to Revelation 5 verse 6, not only does he have seven horns, which is the perfect and complete right to rule, but he also has seven eyes, which shows perfect wisdom. Let's go back to Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4. If you hit Matthew, turn back a few pages. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10. For who has despised the day of small things? For these seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord, which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth. The seven eyes mean what? What does the Lord not see? The Lord sees everything. There's nothing he does not see. Can we commit sin in secret and hide it? No. All that we do in secret is going to be made known. But now I'm confused. Tongue in cheek. Revelation 5, 6 says, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Seven spirits of God? That's from Isaiah chapter 11. The Holy Spirit has seven purposes or ministries, seven aspects of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 11:1 said, there shall come forth the rod or a shoot from the stem or stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. That's Messiah. Verse 2 is the Holy Spirit, which we saw in Matthew chapter 3, come to rest upon Messiah. Here we go. The Spirit of the Lord, put up a finger, shall rest upon him. That's Matthew 3, literally fulfilled. The spirit of wisdom, that's two. And understanding, that's three. The spirit of counsel, that's four. And might, that's five. The spirit of knowledge is six. And of the fear of the Lord, that's seven. That's the sevenfold spirit of God that we read about in Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5. Let's look at that in a little more detail. The spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Where do we first read about the spirit of the Lord? In Genesis 1, keep a finger here and go back to Genesis 1. Genesis 1, Bereshit, in the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2. The earth was without form, tohu, and void, bohu. And darkness, choshek, was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. There are still people arguing that there is no Holy Spirit. There it is, right there in verse 2. So back to Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom. What is the beginning of wisdom? The fear of the Lord. And understanding. What did Messiah understand? Everything. The spirit of counsel. What's one of the terms for Messiah in Isaiah 9? Wonderful counselor. And might. What's another term in Isaiah 9? El Gibor, mighty God. The spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. It tells us right here in verse 3, his delight is in the fear of the Lord. Wow. Good stuff. Back to Revelation chapter 5. So verse 6 is describing why Messiah has the right to rule and why he is worthy to open the scroll. Because he did not sin. He was the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That spotless tamim, complete, whole, spotless Lamb of God, who gave his life that we might live. So look at Matthew chapter 28. It says in verse 6 of Revelation that he has seven horns, the perfect right to rule. He has all authority. That's what he tells us in Matthew 28:18. In Matthew 28:18. And Yeshua came and spoke to them, saying, what's that word saying? It's a quote. These words come from the lips of the Lord. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. That's what the seven horns represent. All authority. Everywhere. In heaven and earth. Verse 19, he says, go therefore and make disciples. He doesn't say make converts. Make disciples. What's a disciple? A student. Of all the nations. The word nations means what? Gentiles. Make disciples of all the nations. Make students of all the Gentiles. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Notice there's one baptism, there's one name. In three parts, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Teaching them, who do you teach? Students. To observe all things that I have commanded you. The you, he's talking to the Jewish disciples. He says, teach them everything I've taught you. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. What did Messiah teach the disciples? Everything. Okay, back to Revelation chapter 5, verse 7. Then he came, he who? Our Messiah Yeshua. And took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. That's also Messiah. How can he take the thing from himself? It's a vision. That's right. It's a vision. So he sees that he is the only one worthy to open the scroll. So he takes the scroll. Verse 8. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures, they're the ones who hold the throne when it flies. They carry it on their backs when they fly. The four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Is that because they're clumsy? No, they fall down to what? To worship him. Thought you can only worship God.
He is God.
He is God. Fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are what? The prayers of the saints. How much does God love your prayers? A whole lot. Verse 9, and they sang a new song, saying. Before we get to what they sing, let's talk about that new song. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5.
Wayne, while you're looking that up, let me interject a quick, which are the prayers of the saints, as opposed to the prayers of those who turn their ear from the Torah.
Yeah.
I think that is a real important distinction there.
Okay. I agree with you. Let's take a little more look at that before we look at 2 Corinthians 5:8. Go to Proverbs. Mike makes the point that those who turn their ear away from hearing the Torah, even their prayer is an abomination, which means it's not going to be burnt as incense before the Lord. Proverbs chapter 28. First verse 7, which says, whoever keeps the Torah is a discerning son. What's the word discerning mean? Understands, it's wisdom. Verse 9, one who turns away his ear from hearing the Torah, even his prayer is an abomination. I mean, the Lord won't hear it. Is there anything in the New Testament to confirm that that's true, that our understanding is correct?
Yes.
Where? John 9. 31. John 9, 31. John 9, 31 is based upon Proverbs 28, 9. John 9, 31. John 9, 31. Now we know that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. So Old Testament, New Testament agree. As Proverbs 28, 9, is John 9, 31. So, to complete Mike's point, in Revelation chapter 5, what was the word? The prayers of the saints. How does the book of Revelation describe for us the saints? We can look in two places, Revelation 12, 17 and Revelation 14, 12. Let's start with Revelation 12, 17. And see that it is absolutely consistent with Proverbs and with John. Revelation 12, 17 says, and the dragon, that's Satan, was enraged with the woman, that's Israel, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Yeshua the Messiah. So they're saved by faith, and because of their salvation by faith, they're obedient to the commandments. Why? What did the Lord say? If you love me, what? Keep some of my commandments, wasn't it?
No,
it was keep my commandments. I've actually had messianic leaders, when I pointed out John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, say, yeah, but it doesn't say which ones. That's right. It doesn't give exceptions, does it? Revelation 14, 12, on the word of two or more, let's have a second witness. Revelation 14, 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Yeshua. It's because of these two verses that there are a lot of theologians that teach only Jews can be saved in the tribulation period. Gentiles can't be saved. They say this is the proof, because those who get saved obey the commandments. Therefore, they must be Jews because they don't apply to Gentiles. Oh, my. Okay. Back to 2 Corinthians.
Before you go to 2 Corinthians.
Before I go to 2 Corinthians, Sam says?
The reference upon, based upon two or more witnesses, let everything be established. That's Deuteronomy. But do you have that reference again?
Do I have the reference that says that? Let's see.
I know it's in Deuteronomy somewhere, I just don't remember where.
Yeah, I think it's also in Numbers. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull up the computer for a moment.
But we can come back to it later.
Ah, it's okay. It won't take but a minute. I have two different computers here. So in this one, let me put in two witnesses. Because you're doing what I want you to do, Sam. Make me prove it. Deuteronomy 17:6. Deuteronomy 19:15. Matthew 18:16. In Matthew 18:16, it says, "But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more," that quote, "by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established," end quote. So that's a reference, Matthew 18, 16. It's referring back to and quoting from Deuteronomy 19, 15.
Excuse me, Wayne.
Yes, ma'am. Cassandra.
Yes, would you tell me the scripture where the beast are carrying the throne?
Yes, that's from Ezekiel. Let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 1. She said, where are those four beasts carrying the throne? It's in Ezekiel chapter 1. Starting in verse 4. Ezekiel 1, starting verse 4, "Then I looked, and behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the north, a great cloud with raging fire engulfing itself, and the brightness was all around it." This is the throne of God, he sees, "radiating out of its midst like the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. Also from within it came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likenesses of a man. Each one had four faces, each one had four wings." See, and let's go down to verse 12, "and each one went straight forward. They went wherever the Spirit wanted to go, and they did not turn as they went." Verse 15, "Now as I looked at the living creatures, behold, a wheel," that's not a good translation, it's ophon, it's an angelic being, "was on." Well, that's about all the time we have for today, folks. If you've enjoyed this Bible study and you want more information on what we teach, please go to our website at www.john1415.org, where you'll find all of our Bible studies for the past 3 or 4 years in MP3 format, organized by book. And we've covered just about every book of the Bible. So you can listen online, or you can right-click on the link and download the file to your iPhone, iPad, or however you like to listen to your teachings. May God bless you. We'll see you next week.